I'd like to wish you a happy Easter as well. There's no day in my life that is greater than this day. It celebrates the wonderful opportunity we have to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. I want to speak this morning on the empty promises of Easter. I came across a story purportedly told by Dear Abby in a response to someone's question. There was a young man from a wealthy family about to graduate from high school, and it was a custom in that rather affluent neighborhood for the parents to give the graduate a new car. So Bill and his father had spent a considerable amount of time visiting dealerships trying to find just the right car. They found the right car, and graduation came, and the party that was afterwards, and the father came up and handed Bill a package, a square package. He thought when he opened that package, it was going to be the keys to his new car. And when he opened the package, what he found was a box with a transparent lid and a Bible with his name engraved in gold on the bottom. And he cursed and he threw the Bible down and walked out of the room. Never saw his dad again. The next time he came home was on the occasion of his father's funeral. He had mixed feelings of anger and resentment and loss. After the ceremony, he went up and sat in his father's study, opened his father's desk, and there in his father's desk was this box and this Bible. He picked the box up again, struggling with feelings of anger, resentment. And he picked the Bible up and he flipped through it like that, and something popped out. And dated the day of his graduation was this cashier's check for exactly the price of his new car. He threw it away because he didn't understand the package. In our world, we're taught, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So many have been taken in by empty promises that we're leery of anything or anybody that tells us that something, we can have something for nothing. The world simply doesn't work that way. But I want to tell you, I guess we'll go there. The empty promises of Easter. Sometime in your day today, take time to run through those four passages. They'll give you some framework of what Easter really is all about. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. The world is full of empty promises. Every time you turn your TV on, you see empty promises. If you buy this shaving cream, you'll be suave and debonair, and everybody will think you're awesome. If you wear these clothes, you'll be the man set apart. Or the woman set apart. It doesn't take long before we realize that all these promises of the world are empty. They mean nothing. You buy those pair of jeans, they still don't make you look like you have a 28-inch waist. It doesn't matter. We buy into all that stuff and we find that the world is full of empty promises. But God, instead of promises full of emptiness, on Easter he gives us emptiness that's full of promise. I'd like us to think about the promises of Easter. There are three of them, each promise marked by something empty. We have the empty cross. We have the empty tomb. We have those empty grave clothes. Because they couldn't hold Jesus, because he couldn't be contained by the cross, the tomb, or even the burial clothes, we can be sure of the fullness of God's promises in our lives. I want to begin with the empty cross. Because the cross was empty, we have the promise of forgiven sins. Let's go back, if we can, to that first Easter morning, compiled from all these gospel writers. Basically, what I did was I took all of them and kind of blended them together. It's early morning, it's dawn. The sun is not quite risen, it's just starting to become light. A few of Jesus' followers, women, are on the way to the tomb. It's the tomb where Jesus was buried. The women have been walking now about a half an hour. The conversation is kind of subdued. The task before them is a sad one. They're going to anoint the body of Jesus for his final burial. As they come to the rise in the path, they gaze out over a horizon, and they see that gruesome reminder of the events of yesterday. Yesterday was the Sabbath. Nobody had yet removed them. So there they stand. The empty reminder of the horror of Friday. They're silhouetted on the sky in the gold pink of sunrise. On the top of the hill that was called Golgotha, or the skull, there stand three crosses.